This is The Record. I'm Steve Scherr. As we heard before the break, 120,000 more people expected in Seattle by 2035. Where will they live? What will neighborhoods feel like with that many more people? A few years ago, a trend started emerging in Seattle's family neighborhoods, single-family neighborhoods. Additional houses started popping up on small properties. Some neighbors complained. 19 months ago, the city council slapped a moratorium on the practice. The council votes today on a new set of rules for building additional houses on small lots. Erin Miller is a homeowner in Seattle's Montlake neighborhood. A few years ago, a new house was built in her neighbor's backyard, and that raised a number of concerns.
I think what people don't realize is a lot of these backyard and side yard houses have, because of the historical exceptions and some of the other things, have way smaller setbacks than a lot of other things. So, for instance, it's like 3 feet away from the fence of the house next to it. And so it is much more imposing to have that size of a house 3 feet away from you than a little bit further. They are allowed to not have to follow the same setbacks as the rest of us if we were to remodel right now.
Well, give me a visual. How do you think these rules are going to could change the look of your neighborhood in Montlake?
You'll have a lot of houses that are pretty tall and really close, and I think that it's not accomplishing what the city council thinks they're trying to set up and making affordable housing coming into these neighborhoods. It's putting the biggest thing possible on the smallest piece of land. And it affects light for the neighborhoods. It affects green space. It affects parking, quite honestly. It affects everything.
Where do you think in your neighborhood reasonable density could be accommodated?
I'm not sure there's much room left in my neighborhood, to be honest with you. I love that we are called NIMBYs all the time, not in my backyard, because most of us don't have a backyard in my neighborhood. We've asked the DPD to make a registry of all these potential lots, and they said that's too much work. So then we've asked, could they at least publish something saying how you could know before you bought what could happen, and that hasn't happened yet, or it's not in this new code, so that makes us uneasy going forward. But I honestly don't know, even after reading all this thoroughly, where another house could or could not be in my neighborhood. Theoretically, someone has said that I may have two lots, but it's not on my deed, that's for sure, or on my title of my house or anything.
Windfall, two lots.
I wouldn't do that to the neighborhood.
Why is this so important to you?
I think it bothers me for a lot of reasons. One, that a lot of people that sell to these developers have no idea that they're holding it. So I find it objectionable. If the city wants to go forward with this, I feel like people should know and it should be out in the open. And like you said, a windfall for me. Well, I should know that when I sell my house, what I'm holding, and at least get the money for it. And that the neighbors don't know until the bulldozers show up. I just think that when you're part of a community, that it should be more transparent. And it still doesn't feel like that piece is really included, or it's not codified into the current proposed code.
It's Erin Miller. She's a homeowner in Seattle's Montlake neighborhood, one of the neighborhoods with some of these taller houses that are being built on smaller lots. To learn more about the new rules, we turn to Seattle City Council member Michael Bryan. Michael Bryan, thanks for talking to us.
Glad to be here.
Well, how about that? In these new rules, will we be informed as homeowners when these houses are proposed?
So there's a couple things that have shifted that help with that. So the first is that Erin Miller brought up was about a property owner who's selling to a developer an asymmetrical information where the property owner thinks they're selling a single lot and the developer's buying a double lot. One of the things the city has instituted is a policy whenever a developer goes to the city to get certification that the lot they're talking about can be divided into two lots, that we now notify the owner of that certification is not the proper term, but it's basically a letter that says you've asked. And we're talking about codifying that so it's not just city policy, but it's actually the law that we notify a property owner anytime those questions have been asked about their lot.
So property owner finds out, do neighbors?
That would just be the property owner. So that would address the issue of someone who came to you to buy the property. You would be notified that they've already come to the city and been told by the city that they could possibly make two lots out of your property. Now, to the neighbors, what we've done in this legislation today is for lots under 3,200 square feet, the permitting of a development on a lot that size would now be what's called a Type 2 decision. And basically what that means is they put up notice, so the yellow signs we see in neighborhood, they would have to send out a mailing to everyone who lives within 300 feet. And that would be, a Type 2 notice is also appealable. So if the city issued a permit and folks felt the process wasn't fair, they could appeal that to the hearing examiner at the city. And so that would be more notice. And again, that's on developments that would happen on lots less than 3,200 square feet.
So, Michael Bryan, why allow additional properties to be built on these smaller lots in the first place? Because they're not exactly affordable housing.
They aren't. You know, most single-family housing in the city is not affordable. We're not talking about a huge number of them. You know, there is an argument that the more supply of housing we have, that helps, you know, if not reduce the price, at least reduce the pressure on upward pricing. But we're talking about maybe 250 lots that would be created. So it's a relatively modest amount. One of the things I think it's important to remember, these are typically in neighborhoods that are zoned SF 5000, meaning single-family 5000 square foot lots. But 45% of all of the lots in the city, and there are over 100,000 of these, are actually under 5,000 square feet already. And so we have this nomenclature for what we call a single-family 5,000 lot. And yes, almost half of the lots are already smaller because that's just the historical development pattern that happened before city zoning came along or before these parts of the city were annexed.
Well, what does that mean? If we have this these rules in place, does the city, what does a neighborhood look like 35 years from now? Are there many, many more houses slid in to those those lots that are less than 5,000 but still pretty big?
Under these rules, I don't think you will see significant changes in the single-family zone going forward. What you will possibly see is in neighborhoods where all the lots are already smaller than 5,000, if there's one big lot in that on that block, the house is built to the side, and so there appears to be an empty lot, that might change, and you might get one additional home. But again, it would only happen in the case where the lots on that street are already smaller lots. This would not allow that where you have larger lots in neighborhoods and someone wants to come squeeze a couple smaller ones in. This is specifically designed to prevent that type of action from happening. Like the house, if the one I'm thinking of is what Ms. Miller was talking about, that would not be allowed to go forward under this legislation.
So dense neighborhoods with smaller lots are going to get denser?
Again, most of those neighborhoods, as you heard from Ms. Miller, are already built out. And so there's not a lot of room for them. When we looked at citywide, how many lots in single-family neighborhoods would potentially could be created, our estimate is about 250 potential lots could be created. And of course, many of those have structures on them, and it would require someone to tear it down. And you know, I don't think we'll see a significant number of these going forward. But a few of them would be. And some people know that. They have a lot they bought. They invested in it. They've been planning to sell it. We're hearing from these folks as part of their retirement type thing. And they want to make sure that what they bought they can continue to sell. And so it's a bit of a balancing act we're trying to walk between preserving the character of these neighborhoods, which is really important, but also making sure that people's expectations when they bought their house or their property, we don't significantly change that.
But they're still very high. Isn't that the complaint people have? You were sliding in small houses that were comparable to the other houses. They'd be less upset.
You're talking about height restrictions here?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so one of the things that this legislation also does, so in a single-family 5,000 lot today, you can build up to a 30-foot structure. And with a sloped roof, you can go up to 35. We'll give you 5 extra feet if you want to do a sloped roof. This, on lots below 3,200, would be limited to 22 feet instead of 30 feet. And with a sloped roof, you could go up 5 feet to 27 feet. But, you know, instead of having a 3-story building at 30 feet, you could have a 2-story building at 22 feet.
All right, Michael Bryan, thanks for talking to us.
You bet.
Michael Bryan is a Seattle City Council member. He helped craft new rules on building additional houses on small lots. City Council votes on the plan today in Seattle, and there's a public hearing on the issue, 2 o'clock at City Hall. This is The Record.